two presentations that we received this morning, namely the legacy report, the main report, the one of Honourable Member Hollis, and the one of the ANC. So I do appreciate that the work has been done by the various stakeholders, and we note that COPE will bring in its own input at an appropriate time. I would hope that you see the way you restructure it in terms of giving the background is very appropriate. It's very appropriate. But just beneath or below that background, I would have thought that at least members who are serving in this committee, including its staff, should have reflected in this report. Members of this committee, including staff members, they should have been reflected in this report, so that we know the captain of transport in terms of the chaperone, Comrade Ruth, and so on, and with all the members as the portfolio committee, and in brackets you also put in the parties that they came from, so that it is not just as if it's a committee report without a name of those members. Chaperone, I think on page one on the report, we should have a qualification, because after having improved the infrastructure and the services thereof, through our collective wisdom, both as a committee and government, we made a resounding success of 2010 FIFA World Cup. So there should be a kind of a qualification. It should not be as a statement, as an observation. What then? I'm saying through our efforts as the committee and through keeping the government on its toes, hence we've got this kind of an infrastructure that we have. So I don't have a problem with that. I could see that on each bullet point where the committee raises some challenges, there are recommendations if you go to subcommittees that follow otherwise. My little problem, Chair, if we look at 1.4 under transformation in the aviation industry, that's too little. I would have thought that we do have a contention in terms of the control and the synergy between which we have not succeeded, by the way, between the Department of Transport and the Department of public enterprise, the other community government, because we talk transport, but some of its line functions are dealt with by another department. So this question of synergy between the two departments and who controls really the aviation, it is a little bit of a challenge. In fact, we need to flag it. I'm standing to be corrected. I'm also raising a debate here on the matter. Who is really in control? Because transport is transport. That we need to straighten out. The issue of page 14, page 11, I think, I read somewhere. I will skip others deliberately so that I don't take all, maybe we can always come back. Page 11 as opposed to page 21, if I'm not mistaken, I think there is a little bit of a contrast. I read somewhere. Oh yeah, that's page 14. Page 14, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. On that demonstration there, it's nicely packaged where it says activity and the financial years that follows. That graph, the very last one, petitions considered from 2010 to 2014, none, zero. But if you go to page 21, where there should be consistency, that's my view, chairperson. That's page 14 as opposed to page 21, bullet point number 11, where it says petitions, the heading is petitions. And it states the following petitions were referred to and considered by the committee. I mean, that very same statement contradicts the NAM on page 14. And that was it,
Okay. Yeah, on page
14
and page
21.
She's probably saying no petitions were referred to.
Come again?
She's probably saying no petitions were referred to in Monster. That would help.
I will say, I'm picking up a discourse there, so I said we need to correct that. Now I want to listen to what I'm saying.
Through you, Chair?
Yeah. I think the heading on page 21 is misleading. In fact, there's nothing after the colon, the end of that particular heading. So maybe what it should say is no petitions were referred to and considered by the committee, and then it's consistent with page 14, as Honourable Suka suggests.
My contention, Chairperson, is that
there were
petitions. You see, if you remember, the small bus operators who came here through a petition, they petitioned and a meeting was facilitated that they should come and make a presentation, including also yourself, the aviation people. You remember the issue. They wrote a petition to you, and you requested a meeting with the Chairperson to help these people to be heard. So it can be that there's nothing that we've done. I will not go back too far. I'm just raising the immediate ones. So it should be consistent.
Can we, in dealing with that point, can we list the petitions that and also reflect on my one?
Yeah,
on the page that say, on page 5, that says issues that the portfolio committee dealt with.
Yes.
Bullet number 4 refers to the issue of low fare airlines. Really, to that page.
In fact, I was going to come to this document because I was trying just to cross reference what we are raising. So I'm saying page 14. Of page 21 in relation to page 4 or 5 of the inputs from the chair, there should be signage at that level. I would have loved to go to other pages just before page 14, but let me just take a pause and allow other members maybe they want to say something. Thank you, Chair.
Can we, before we do that, can we conclude on this one and agree on the issue that we think were dealt by this committee as a response to petitions that were brought forward, so that we can then refer to that information in the document. The first one is the petition that came from the aviation. If Honorable Kombo can remind us on that one, I think it also appears on the.
Another petition is from the taxi driver from Northwest, where the portfolio committee go and see what is the problem.
Oversight. The taxi drivers, the taxi owners from Northwest complained about the potholes on the road, and that then led to an oversight that was undertaken to the Northwest.
Yeah, Chair, I'm happy with this. I mean, the reason why I thought the heading was a problem is that I didn't realize those were defined as petitions. So had I known that's how you call it petition, I would have agreed with Honourable Suka right from the beginning. But I'm comfortable with that. I generally, sort of in my experience, know petitions where you have like a campaign and people filling sheets of paper and you present 5,000 signatures. I mean, that's, in the day, it gets to be done. But if it simply means that, you know, a few people can petition us in using as a verb, then I'm happy then. We don't have to waste time over this. So I'd agree then, if that's how you define it, then let's include the aviation thing in the petitions and amend the table as Honourable Super suggests. I think that's fine.
Another one was the one that was brought by the SABO when they wanted increase. They wanted the modification of the bus subsidy for contracted companies, but also on the same issue, a different petition was put by the small bus operators and the taxi industry are pushing the issue from different perspectives. What was the other one?
Well, I think at least those can give pointers that we did receive petitions.
Mm.
But also petition is not only, I understand what you're saying, it's not necessarily a one-way approach of getting numbers, so that there is because here we're talking of stakeholders. Stakeholders will always be specific to a particular interest to them, unlike in another petition where you have to open it up very wide and so on. Otherwise, I agree with you. Let's work together.
Yeah. The other one was the low fare airline, which was actually good. What was the last airline that Zelfest? And then the other one was the one that we spent with the last 2 weeks, the truck driver owner thing. I didn't get the whole name of the abbreviated name, that is RAAF, that came to the R. Those were complaining about the fleet management. So what we are doing is that on my document, on page 5, let us take those that we have now dealt with so that they are moved out of the way. We are taking number 4, number 5, and number 6.
The one you've just given us, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. 4, 5, and 6.
Yes. Okay. And then we are adding the one that was raised by Honorable Grombrook in the aviation, and the other one that was raised by Honorable Minister on the taxi, Northwest Taxi Association. That the Retail Automobile Aftermath Federation, if you can put the whole name, yes. Are there any other inputs on the report?
Chairperson.
I have recognized another report.
Chairperson, thanks. Mine is to just indicate on two issues, on the policy and the department. We are not saying whether the department has not indicated when are they going to come up with these policies. For an example, the transformation policy on aviation. What page is that? That is page 5. We have not said whether they promised as to when are they going to be coming up with that. We just talk about it as something that was raised with us at some time. Has they ever said anything about when are they going to? Because I thought probably it would help if we give a time frame. If we leave it open-ended like that, it may take another 5 years. On page 5. On the big report, and then on your report, Chair, on your input, we have the solar transport policy, which the two departments are discussing between page 4 and page 5. We are not saying exactly when are they going to be finishing with this policy. I see that instead of them concentrating on the policy finalization, they have actually concentrated on the tender issues and whatever. But I think we need to say when exactly are they going to have that policy ready. That is page 4 on your report. On your input.
Chairperson, taking the cue from the one page of the Democratic Alliance in terms of what the honorable member raised, page 1, bullet point number 1 on additional point, the honorable member who denies is saying we need to attach timeframes on these that were raised. For instance, honorable always was smart to say that the department should finalize the scholar transport policy by this date, by December 2014. Because I think it was very generous, because normally departments must finalize their policies by the end of each financial year, so that when they kick in the next financial year, there should be movement. So he has attached it. I think we need to consider whether it's opportune to say 2014 December or in the next financial year. Because there is time for it. The committee would deny saying, let us not leave to chance the department and not force it in a way to have time frames, or else it will take another 5 years. So honorable always has assisted here to say, let's think about time frames, especially on this matter, the scholar transport. It has been coming for more than 7 years, not even 5 years.
Chairperson, thanks. The other issue is on the just Honorable Suka reminded me. Comment Suka reminded me of the input from Honorable Police. I see that on the first comment, Honorable Police made the comment on the integrated transport services.
Can we finish this one?
Okay.
Can we conclude on the scholar transport, because there is synergy between what the ANC is saying and the DA in relation to this particular matter of the scholar transport policy?
Cope must obviously express the views, but there is agreement that we should have a time frame, and the only question is December 2014 reasonable? In view of the urgency of the matter, I would argue that it is, and I propose that as a committee we put that time frame in.
The only question that I saw Honorable Suga mentioning in relation to the time frame was in relation to the financial year, to say if the policy is concluded after the medium term expenditure framework, is it possible for it then to be implemented in the 2015-2016 financial year, which is the adjustment that I thought you were going to respond to, Honorable. The medium term expenditure framework process and the happened before the Minister of Finance pronounced on the medium term expenditure framework. end. If then the deadline that we are putting is after that has happened, the likelihood is that the financial resources required to implement that particular policy can only be effected in 2016-2017 financial year. That is the point Honorable Suga is making. And if then the view from the DA was that it had to be completed in December for it to be implemented in the next financial year, then it is missing the budgetary process and it needs to be brought forward to say before the 2015-2016 medium term expenditure framework adjustment, before the expenditure framework adjustment of 2014.
I would agree with you on that one, but also because it's not something that they're going to start afresh. It's a policy work that they have prepared, they have started already. It's a question of us pushing them to finalize.
I disagree with you. They have not taken into consideration what the portfolio committee you are in, what the policy has to take into consideration. Their approach has been on the administration, and the portfolio committee's approach is much broader than that. It is based on making scholar transport safe, and it may take longer because the point that I am making in our document of the ANC is that we have not even seen what is it that they are discussing between themselves.
I'm just trying to build consensus, as you said. When must the policy be finalized by in order to have a particular financial year, would you say 2015-2016? Do you think that's the earliest that can be done?
The policy, if we wanted it implemented on 2015-2016 financial year, it has to be finalized before we start with the process of the budget review recommendations report, which it also affects the medium term expenditure framework.
Okay, so I understand.
Which happens in October.
So are you proposing that we should change this to October 2014 in order to implement it by 2015-2016? Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that in arriving at the appropriate time, we must take into consideration two issues. The budgetary process, as well as the fact that this committee has not even seen that draft. What is it that is being discussed between the Department of Transport and the Department of Basic Education? And in the last engagement that we had with the department, we had identified that they were focusing more on the administration of the scholar transport, and we are focusing on the safety of the child. And in our last meeting, we asked them a question: how long does it take to draft a policy? And they could not give us an appropriate answer, because that question then was related to, if they were to change and take into consideration that we are not actually looking at a policy in relation to the administration, we are looking at a scholar policy in terms of the safety, transporting a child in a much safe manner. And if they have taken more than 5 years to discuss just the administration, how long will then, we need to be realistic to say, how long would it take them to focus on the real issues? Safe transport for school children. Are we fair if we say they should finalize that before the budgetary, the the budgetary recommendation process kicks in, or we are saying that they should conclude their process for the policy to be implemented latest 2016-2017 financial year.
If I understand you correctly, is that your proposed amendment to this amendment? That we're heading, you're asking the department to complete the safety aspects and complete that policy development so that we can implement it by the latest 2016-2017. Is that, as I understand, what the committee's now got on the table?
That would be my view.
Sure, I understand.
That would be my view, because if we are saying 2014, December 2014, all that they will do, they will bring back what they have agreed on between themselves and the Department of Transport of Basic Education, which is on the administration.
Yeah, okay.
The committee will not have time to engage, enough time to engage the department to change and focus on the safety of children, which may take longer. But what we are saying is that that process should not take longer than one financial year. We are giving them time to do that during the 2014.
I'm taking that.
Yeah, during the 2014-2015 financial year, so that the process of the policy draft and approval would then make it possible for the policy to be implemented in 2016-2017 financial year.
Conferring with my colleagues as he's speaking, literally from your mouth to his ears. So I'm just waiting for him to come back, and then what I suggest we do is you'll be very quick. Can we maybe look at some of the other proposed amendments, perhaps the ones that are completely uncontroversial, and I'll have an answer for you by the time we get to them.
I just think that your colleagues would compare with us on this one, because we have to be realistic in terms of time.
Yeah,
at the same time, we must not give the department a very long time as if there is no problem, because we are making very strong points here that the school children are dying.
Yes.
Okay. We can then move to Honorable Dina Polia's second proposal.
I don't know whether I wanted us all to talk to the safety transformation policy, the aviation transformation policy, the time frame there also, because it also talks to safety, and it also talks to integration. And so I was saying, are we not giving them a time frame? They wanted to suggest that we also give them a time frame.
Which one? Which
one? On the main report, it's on page 5.
aviation transport on 2.3, it has 2.3.1. The formulation and the finalization.
Before we go to that,
yeah.
Can you switch off your mic?
Oh, sorry.
I have a very serious problem with this report. I thought that all of us were going to pick this up. This report does not talk about what has happened. It only talks about the problem.
Yeah.
As if nothing has happened. And also, it doesn't give a full background of the mandate of each entity. And the author of the report is not here. It's like she is saying, here, take it. It's a very, very, very painful, because to produce a legacy report, you get back to the reports of the portfolio committee. And this committee has been having reports. But what is contained in the report, it does not reflect the entire work. I thought that before we even go to any other thing, members of this portfolio committee would actually identify that as a serious, serious problem. I am not saying that we should not report on what has not been achieved, but we should be able to qualify and quantify. Like when we are talking, when this report talks of Humbasonga, and you look at my report on that, on road infrastructure, because Humbasonga is part of road infrastructure. It's not a standalone. It's a standalone program. Humbasonga came into place as a result of the portfolio committee having identified the problem of uneven levels of road infrastructure in the country, where even the adequate infrastructure had degraded because it was not maintained. And the inadequate infrastructure was not being upgraded, targeting public facilities that are utilized by communities. That is the point we made, which gave birth to Humbasonga. But the report talks, just gives one paragraph of Humbasonga and doesn't give the background of Humbasonga. And a new committee, if they were to read this report, they would not even understand what Humbasonga is all about. And the oversight visits, we're actually following this up. We undertook those oversight visits immediately after the allocation of this fund. And when we arrived in Northwest, where there were potholes and the taxi industry had petitioned the portfolio committee, that money had not been utilized for that. It had been utilized to pay 110 consultants that were serving the Department of Transport in the Northwest. It is not reflected in this report. And we are being serviced by a totally new community secretary that has not been with us for even a month. The one that has been with us all along is not here.
Yeah, through you, Chair. I entirely agree with you. If I was to be a new member who's serving for the first time in the next parliament, and I look at this legacy report, to be honest, if you, I would be asking myself, what is it that the previous committee have actually been doing? Because there's nothing in terms of our achievements that is reflected in this report. Even the whole project of like youth trains, that's our baby. But there's nothing that is being said. We have achieved a lot, but this report says absolutely nothing about us. It's like for the previous 5 years we've been doing absolutely nothing, just observing and sitting in meetings and recommending and out. Thank you.
Samba Sonke was our baby. There was no maintenance fund before this portfolio committee pushed, and all parties in this portfolio committee realized the problem of potholes as a lack of road maintenance and balancing the uneven level. And Samba Sonke was dedicated mainly to upgrade provincial access roads and also to maintain the grading infrastructure, particularly in municipalities. And if you look at the report that was presented by the department, there is underspending of the budget in the municipalities, and there are lots of potholes. We went to the Eastern Cape and we experienced how bad those potholes were. And this report doesn't speak to that. Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, it seems to me we are going to rewrite this report in the manner in which, well, that's why also Honorable Ollis picked up some of the issues that he's picking up here, because he knows very well that some of the matters we did discuss. Take for instance, I'm coming to the point, Chairperson, to yourself. Take for instance point number one. On the issue of the integrated approach. Surely, it's not one province, two provinces, the others are lagging behind, especially on the IPDS matter, integrated approach. So he's correct, let alone he's very straightforward to say it's not true, you know, but I think it's not on the province, of which I agree to a large extent to that one, including, you know, he's agitated by point one, the scholar transport just like ourselves, which has been coming for more than 7 years. That's why he attached the question of time frame. So maybe, Chairperson, I'm not sure whether I'm asking too much for the committee, maybe through your office, to assist this committee, because in writing a report, you will first start with the structure of the department. Look, we have been clamoring for the high vacancy rate, and it has dropped over a period of time. I think we are left now with the DG. We have not yet have a permanent DG. But the percentage on the vacancy rate is less than one digit. When we arrived, it was more than two digits. It was about 23% or so. But to date, 94% of the vacancy rate has been filled. I'm subject to correction on this one, but I know it has dropped dramatically. We did not have a CFO. We do have a CFO. We did not have critical posts, so we do. So it must highlight that was because of our oversight over the department in terms of its human resource development or human resource, we did make an impact because we've been raising it consistently. You'll remember the meeting that we had with the minister also, trying to check how far are we with that one. So it will be the structure. And the second point will be around the infrastructure of the department. And that's where the major infrastructure, the rollout plan of the department, that's where, before that, it will be followed by policies, because those human resources must implement the policies. To what extent has those policies been implemented by the department to have an impact to our people? Now, it comes in this matter, where they are very slow at the snail's pace in some of the policies not being implemented and so on. And one can elaborate on those issues of the policies. They are still in the process, in the pipeline, you know, all that. And we've been clamoring to an extent that, for instance, maritime did ultimately have a policy. Do you remember the chairperson was asking the national plan of the department in driving the department forward? So
I'm saying you will come to policies. After policies, then you look into the major infrastructure, the core business. That's why now you've got this rolling stock and other infrastructure, the bridges and so on. Because out of our visits to various provinces and so on. So I'm saying, Kambi, I'm not sure I'm asking too much, Mr. Kum, to ask the chair, maybe to give us a framework on this report, so that it does not reflect only a negative approach, but rather balance that, because it's not all rosy in the department. Where we must give due, we must say so. Where we must criticize constructively, we must say so. And the way forward. That's my approach, Chairperson. I'm just raising the three fundamental matters.
Honourable Musa, followed by Honourable Ben.
Chairperson, while I'm supporting the Honourable Suga to rewrite this report, when you look at this report, only Honourable Ollis, he was trying to bring some of the issues. Like when we discuss the issue of subsidy, not only to the small buses, but to the Department of Transport must support subsidize the people, all people that are using buses. They mustn't subsidize the bus, but ordinary passengers must be subsidized. And then when we go to the oversight, we're looking at, like Plaza, when they are saying we are raising a red flag. Yeah, we go there and look why they are saying they are raising the red flag. They must appear on the report, all of these things. And then the projects that we have reported done in our constituents must be part of this report.
Yeah, for me, Chair, one part of the gaps that are there in this document would be for me recommendations of the committee vis-a-vis the department's response in terms of action. Because there's a lot that the department has done taking from our recommendations. And where they would not have done anything, it must equally be reflected as well. For example, the whole issue of cooperatives, which is the direction that the department is taking. Also, this committee's baby, which has been saying labor intensive is the way to go if you want to deal with issues of unemployment, because you're able to employ people en masse if you take the direction of cooperatives. And the department, in terms of road transport, is able to deal with that now as its new direction. So there's a lot that the department has done taking from our recommendation. So, fairly, this document does not do us justice. Thank you.
Now, I wanted us to just, if we wanted to agree whether we rewrite the report or we approve some of the sections in this report. Let us go to the recapitalization of rail infrastructure. Recapitalization of the infrastructure, and it falls under key focus areas of ourselves. I don't remember us focusing on the recapitalization of the rail infrastructure. We actually talked about the transformation of transport. And then when it came to the railway industry, you said in the whole transport system, we have four modes of transport. Mm-hmm. And then we agreed that the railway transportation becomes the backbone of transport in South Africa. That is what we agreed on. Which then would then mean, when you are reporting, you start with rail as the backbone, and you reflect that railway transportation is the backbone of transport in South Africa, and all other modes are complementing railway transportation. And what is it that you then do and you also qualify as to why you are thinking that way. You are saying that way because railway transportation is the cheapest, and you are responding to the National Household Survey on Public Transport, which is one of the documents that we are saying we are using. You are also responding to the high cost of traveling because traveling by rail is cheaper. You are also responding to the reducing time of traveling because time of traveling, if you are introducing, you are reversing your coaches and your railway infrastructure, and you are introducing high-speed trains, then you are reducing the time of travel. So you must be able to say which policy you are responding to and which challenges you are addressing. You can't just have the recapitalization of the railway infrastructure without linking it to the economic development, to reducing ama accidents and ensuring ukuthi you provide South Africans with efficient, cost-effective, and safe transport. That is what you are doing. But if you don't, people who will be reading this report, we will wonder as to what problems we were responding to, as if we did not know what problems we were responding to. But also, I want to go back to the very, very, very first work that we did. If you read my report, we looked at how the department was structured, the institutional arrangement of the department, and how the entities that were implementing arms of the department were aligned to that. When we came in, there was a program in the department which was headed by is it Kua? The one who was the acting DJ? The late that acted as the DJ before the current acting. The late. No, the white lady. She had a program that was called, it looked after entities. All entities. So entities were reporting to one particular program, whereas entities were supposed to be aligned to each transport mode. Okay. PRASA was supposed to be aligned to rail. AFSA was supposed to be aligned to aviation within the department. And we effected that change to say, how does then the program that is developed by transport entities were doing their own thing without being aligned to the program of the department, and there was a restructuring of that. The structure that we have now is as a result of our intervention. It did not come from the department. The first thing that we identified was that there was no alignment of the structure of the department to the entities that were serving the department. And even their reporting was actually, like, that continued, particularly in the maritime, up to where we are, where the department had a different view of how to transform the maritime industry to what FAMSA saw as what needed to be transformed. And we ended up agreeing with FAMSA and disagreeing with the department. So the department was then led by the entity instead of the department leading the entity, even when that was achieved of aligning our entities with. And the third issue that was lacking was the nurturing role played by the department to its entities. Because we were observing a fight between our entities, a competition between the department that is supposed to be nurturing the entity, the department, the entity. which is another issue that we also identified, which was normalized by taking Honorable Maluleka and make him a chairperson of public enterprises who had served in the Committee of Transport, because the direction that the Committee of Public Enterprise was not assisting the transformation process that was required in the rail transportation.
As we agree with the background also that you are giving us, I think Chairperson does not dispute that there's a need to rewrite the report so that it is balanced. Sound again. We request that if you can have those that report, but it should not be like a committee report in terms of an annual report, because it's more of what we've done, what has not been done, and so on. Do you recommend or?
No, and what to add?
Oh, yes. And then, Klambi, in that rewriting of this report, when you try to improve the report, take into account what has been submitted, also by EDA, as we would also consider what would be submitted by a co-member. So I'm saying, because some of these things are quite good. In fact, they are genuine to be raised. Some, because the issue of revitalization, about 0.5, Mr. Ollis, is what the chairperson is trying to latch on, and so on. And the issue of the bottlenecks, it speaks to directly to the time frames that we must give a department so that it is not an open-ended thing. So I'm saying, chairperson, why don't we allow you to space? You can rope in any member here of the committee, not necessarily by allegiance, but as a committee member, maybe to make an input to that report going forward, so that on Thursday, if it's possible, I know it's maybe it's too soon because it's Tuesday today.
Mm-hmm.
It's impractical, and what is worse, our last day is Tuesday. I mean Wednesday.
No, I slept at 3 a.m.
What 3?
I got this
before
last week.
Well, the handicap is that you see, it's very new. I don't know better what you know. So I don't know, Chair. My I would have loved that you craft it because you are the oldest.
Also, and also in this committee, let us remember to both started as a member of this committee.
Mm-hmm.
Those who started as a member of this committee must say they are there. Who started on day one to be a member of this committee?
The veterans.
Who are they? Bruno?
Only the two of us.
No, only in the...
No. The point here I'm raising is that in this report, if Parliament really wants quality work, the point that I'm raising here is that if Parliament wants quality work, a product called a legacy report of a portfolio committee, therefore the issue of reshuffling, I raised that issue with Honorable Ollis when we were communicating with the DA. COPE is the only party that did not reshuffle. Yes. There was reshuffling that was done by ECOP, and I went to the chief whip of ECOP and pleaded with them that they must bring back Kumbele because the new member was not getting paid. EDA was consistent because it kept Honorable Faro, who had served in the committee for a long time. And Honorable De Freitas then was learning from Honorable Farr. But the reshuffling that was done after that actually put us backwards, because new members, both of them, that had not been part of the portfolio committee were brought in. But it did not also start with them. There was another member that came in before them, and she got ill, and then Kwaletwa, yes, and then Kwaletwa, the two members. But EDA is better also in terms of the consistency than the ANC in this committee. Because after, yes, it's a true reflection, because after they had replaced those two, they then kept their two members in the committee. With us, we have had 4 weeks in this committee since we started. Each time we become okay, the whip understands the functionings of the committee. We are reshuffling from Letwa Omu, and that put a lot of strain on me.
Chair, I think you're building a case for Cope to chair the committee.
No, I am actually saying that I'm saying Parliament as an institution, yes. Parliament as an institution, because our role here is that we also need to point out to issues that are making the work of Parliament to be effective and ineffective. They need to retain the institutional memory. And what is then happening here is that even the committee secretary joined later, and all she is speaking of in the report is what happened during her time, not what happened when we started. And that is putting us on the back foot as a committee. I am not sure whether it will be possible that we will complete this report if we wanted equality report. I don't know. If we are also, I don't know whether the report yet was the consideration of the report of the portfolio committee, the oversight will be debated in the House. And if it will be debated in the House, it's going to put more strain. Because what is missing in this report is the quantification and qualification of the work done. You can't talk of the recapitalization of the rail of the rail infrastructure and not talk of the number of stations that have been upgraded. The signaling system that has been put and point out which cities have benefited on that. The refurbished coaches and locomotives and all those things, but you are talking about the restructuring, the recapitalization of the rail. You are only talking of the rail infrastructure, not the rail industry. The fact that we have said 75% of trains should be actually produced in South Africa. That is our own, after having undertaken a study taught to China. It was our input. So, I don't know. So, what are the rules that govern a legacy report? Is a legacy report supposed to be finalized before the 14th, or we can still apply to come back just for 1 or 2 days to finalize the report? Because to me, that would be the best thing.
No. Thank you, Chairperson. You know, as you elaborate and explain this matter, it becomes to me very clear that it's a complex matter. It's not simplistic. And I thought that the person who was writing the report is a person who started with yourselves day one. But it is not. Now, I would want to request a person, I go back to the principals and ask for the time frame to be extended. If it's the 14th, you can't finish it by the 13th of this month, or day after tomorrow. I would request an extension and come back to you whether you can be given an opportunity for one day. But as we will be preparing for that, maybe then we would have had a draft report if it is extended, you know, so that we just come in and modify and massage the report so that it is what we expected to be done. The second issue, Chairperson, on the issue of the debate, I mean, sort of on the report, on the oversight visit to PRASA, whether are we debating it or is it for tabling or for noting or for adoption. In the order paper, I've not seen it this morning, because in our strategy, we were dealing mainly seriously on the issue of legislations, some challenges which we had to overcome. And I will also come back to you this afternoon on that matter, because there are issues that we can raise at some point in time. So this matter of the report, was we should know by today whether to debate and reach a consensus or is just for table. Well, seemingly the program of this week is quite hectic, Chairperson. There were committees who were saying just now let's adopt those reports or note it and so on, because of the magnitude of this program, not necessarily overlooking what we have done and a good report that we have made in terms of our oversight. So I'll come back to you on the two matters this afternoon.
I think that we will also have to consult with the DA in terms of that the proper report. In my understanding, there were no controversial issues, but we have to consult with the DA and co.
Yeah, Chair, I think what we have to bear uppermost in our minds is that this is quite a big committee, and therefore it costs taxpayers a lot of money, because Parliament is not cheap, and there's many of us in this committee. And I'd much rather we took an extra day and apply for permission and do this report properly, because this is in effect our report of our endeavours, not necessarily all of us, because some of us are new, but certainly of the committee for 5 years. And if we present something which is deficient in one way or another, particularly if it doesn't, as members have stated this morning, doesn't fully reflect the achievements and the progress that has been made, I think people reviewing the report and posterity will judge us quite harshly and say, well, you cost us so many millions, is this all you did? So I think it would be very irresponsible not to properly record what we did. And we're going to get paid regardless, whether we're here or in our constituencies. Let's give the taxpayers their money's worth. Let's do this properly, a proper job as befitting honourable members or responsible leaders of the country, and get it done and produce a report that is a fair, accurate and complete reflection of the work we've done in the last 5 years. I would really support that we take the time, if we can, as you said, what are the rules? Let's find out, and if we can reconvene at a time where we can put together the entire record of the whole 5 years, I would support that.
It is very rare that I agree with Honourable Crumbock entirely. In this case, I do. I want to speak to the issue of the PRASA report, Chair. In our view, we don't see any need to debate the report. I think I even had a conversation with Honourable Ollies some time late last week about it, and equally he saw no reason in debating the report, the PRASA report. So, yeah.
I would also be happy with us not debating the report, because there are no controversial issues, and then we take whatever would have come from that report and incorporate it in our legacy report, because we do have a report that we adopted as a portfolio committee, and if there are issues that require follow up, we then incorporate those issues in the legacy report. I would really think that we would do more justice in our legacy report if rules permit, that we are allowed to come back and spend a day if we would have provided input like we have done with the DA, which would then guide the whole process. If we have not done that, we would then maybe come back for 2 days, spend the first day drafting it, and then spend the second day cleaning it up and adopting it. I would think also that would be the best approach. Can we then ask Honorable Suka to consult on this matter, and then ask Jack during the house meeting over here what do the rules say on the issue of the legal report? I did not see anything that said a illegal report has to be adopted in the house.
Chair would make that request and also a little bit of research, and then respond in the house on this legal report, because it's very critical and very important. And also, I would like us to be seen as people who did not do work, yet we've done so much in all these areas of transport, as the honorable member was raising, because it's going to be a public document. Now, they can't read in our integrity and conclude on the shady work or shoddy work that the committee has done in terms of its report. Thank you, Chair.
Now, can we come up to a suggestion of when, which are the best days for that we can look at?
From my side, any time next week, excluding Friday.
Mina, I have a shortage of tickets. I would appreciate if we were to maybe come back on the weekend that leads to the Jazz Festival, because all of you want to come to the Jazz Festival.
This
weekend? It's on the 28th, 29th, not this week.
Then that would be very revolutionary, Chair, and commendable.
No. Before the Chairperson and Honourable Bele agree on this date, I would want to know if we are going to be given, some of us would not have tickets for the Jazz Festival, you know, so that we can agree. Before we agree, I would like to know if I would have a ticket for the Jazz Festival.
It depends on how hard you work, and then you get invited by a corporate.
So if I get invited by who?
You can go.
Okay.
I am also saying that because Mina, I will be here from the 27th. So if then it means we can come in on either before the 27th, we will then spend time. I also want to spend some time with my kids. I have not been at home for many weekends. So this weekend I want to go home and I want to be at home.
So
the weekend of the 20th.
I can't speak for Honourable Wallace, Chair. I mean, I think you need to put a proposal, and he's not answering his phone right now. I think he's in possibly some doctor's appointment. And I'll have to come back to you, or he will come back to you. But, I can't, he is our delegation leader, he is, I can't commit without his approval. But in principle, I've agreed, you heard me, that we should come back and do this job properly. It's just a question of finding a date that suits everyone.
Can we agree on that, not next week, the week after?
So, what day is that? 28th,
yes, as the mover of the initial date, I agree that it will not be next weekend, it will be the week after.
I agree in principle that we should come back and do a quality work. But I will not tie down members to a fixed date, but I will consider the request members that are making. And look, the principals, our principals, maybe the other issues, because look, we are kicking in the election campaign and so on. But the reality of the matter example and say if there are tickets, no problem on the week of the 26th. But other than that, well, myself, I don't have that. I rely on Coke or ANC to provide that. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll give a response this afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Are you saying the week, next weekend is 22nd and 23rd?
Yeah.
That's the weekend we're talking about?
No, the other
week. So that's actually 2.5 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Which is the 29th and 30th, not the 28th and 29th.
And then they come here either on the 23rd or the 24th.
So we're not talking weekends anymore?
No, we're not talking weekends.
The weekend is takeover. If you want to stay over and attend the
that'll be the 25th or the
26th. Yes. Okay. What would you say? Going to church. I know you're going to the
sea. Not in Maritzburg, my friend.
Not then, Catherine's day.
Can we call the meeting adjourned?
Yes.
Chairperson, Shadow Minister.
Yes, we can call the meeting. But before we don't, I would like to take this opportunity to thank members of the Sustainable Committee for having worked hard. Also for understanding the nature of our work, that we all are here to influence the party's political position. And I must commend the BBA that it's really able to do that.
Our pleasure.
And also I would love to thank members for their consistent part, particularly honorable when we hope has been with us. We also lost a very good input when honorable Lucas resigned from Parliament and the IMP did not direct him with anyone that would have come and ended the win. And we know that elections sometimes pathway in terms of not coming back, but also in terms of coming back as different as members of other political parties, not the ones actually we originally represented. And I want to thank everybody and wish everybody very good campaign, and I want to assure CPA that now we are not able to get 45% in this campaign. Those are the cowards, those who said that in the cowards within the AUP, who are actually aiming at retaining something. Thank you very much. Members are invited to this.
Tomorrow at St. George's Mall here in Cape Town. That's at 10 to 10:30.
And I think we should all ask.